to have her vagina, whatever, and to put a penis on there, she has a right to do that if she wants to, fine. But she is still a woman. That wasn't a courageous decision. Anybody with an ounce of brains would know that only an idiot and a freak of nature would do that. And somebody need to tell Chastity what she is. You're a freak, girl. You're a freak. Now, let's get that out the way, right? See, now, that ain't hate language. She's a freak. A courageous decision. I wish my grandchildren would come to me and say, I'm going to make a courageous decision. Let me keep reading this thing here. Publicists, wait, she's going to begin the sex change process earlier. I guess she began it earlier this year. Publicist Howard Brackman said Bono is proud of, I'm just going to change the word, her decision. I'm not going to call him a him because, see, that's affirming it. Proud of her decision and hopes that her choice to transition will open the hearts and minds of the public regarding this issue. No, you're a freak. You're going to be a freak. You're going to die a freak. And most likely you would possibly go to hell if you don't have Christ as Lord and Savior. Right? The 40-year-old writer, activist, and reality TV star came out gay 20 years ago, Brackman said. Well, all right, see? I don't want to read no more. Mark, you can take your article home, man. this is ridiculous, man. I, you know what? I have another article here. Mark, I read this article that you gave me about the terror names linked to the doomed flight.
I gave you that because we were talking about that a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
About the flight going down, and I just brought out some of the stuff that I've heard and the possibility of why would an airplane that has a system to detect storms not fly above it or go below it, or how do they not know what to do when they are approaching the storm? Airplanes are built to detect that so they can avoid that problem. And so now with this new evidence, when the government people have gone through the passenger list, and now they've found two names on that list that basically, these people should not have been on the plane in the first place.
Yeah, we're talking about the Air France flight that crashed in the Atlantic Ocean. 228 lives were lost. I have an interesting article here, the one that I'm going to spend some time on. And this was taken off of the website, an American Family Association Online. That's www.afa.net. And that's where you can get this article. I found the article very interesting. It's America's largest pro-family online action site. That's what it says on the printed copy. It was sent to me by Brenda Hargrave from Phoenix, Arizona. And Brenda teaches in the college system there. She's a college professor like myself. And she sent it to me. And it's an article that was written by Lou Princhett. Now, if you're over 60 years old, you've probably heard of Lou Princhett. Let me let you know who he is. Lou Princhett is a former vice president of Procter & Gamble, whose career at the company spanned some 36 years before his retirement in 1989. And he is the author of the 1995 business book called Stop Padding and Start Rocking the Boat. Mr. Princhett confirmed that he is indeed the author of this much circulated open letter. He says, I did write the You Scare Me letter. I sent it, he says, to the New York Times, but they never acknowledged or published it. Of course not. The New York Times, just like the LA Times, wouldn't publish this, because they're a bunch of hoo-owls. And then he goes on and says, however, when it hit the internet, and accordingly to the experts, it has had over 500,000 hits. And I'm going to read the letter and make some comments. This is Mr. Pritchett's response to President Obama. I'm assuming that he sent this letter to the White House, but you know what? That guy is so arrogant. He tore that thing and said, who does this man think he is? See, Obama has a, what is it? I've been watching him ever since he's been in office. He has a power complex. I mean, there's some things going on in him. All right, he's the first black president of the United States. He can fill the White House up with black folk. I ain't got nothing against that because I'm raised amongst black folk and love black folk. So, you know, I think a black man can set up a sound system on the White House front lawn just as good as a white man can, as long as he passed the security thing.
Right.
You know, I think a black man can be the president's chief of staff if he wanted to be. He can do it just as well as a white man. We said smart, brilliant, articulate people. Fine. No, but I want to pay a little bit close attention to Mr. Pritchett's letter. Dear President Obama, he writes, you are the 13th president under whom I have lived, and unlike any of the others, you truly scare me. Now, what Pritchett is saying, since he's been on the planet, there's been 13 leaders of the country, and he says that Obama scares him more than the other 12. Now, let's see where Pritchett, since we're talking about discernment and thinking, and I want some of you that listen to me to come to me and listen to the webcast, I want you to get serious and put on your discernment hat as you listen to this. I could have posted the letter on my website, but I don't want to do that. I want to get into your brain. He says, you scare me because after months of exposure, I know nothing about you. Now, you have to understand what Mr. Pritchett is saying, because old school people, see, you can find out about me. I was born in the County General Hospital in Los Angeles, California. I went through the L.A. Unified School Districts, Compton Avenue School, 96th Street School, 75th Street School, Edison Junior High, Markham Junior High, Jordan High School, Fremont High School. Went to East L.A. Junior College. From there, I went on to Cal State Dominguez Hills. From there, I went on, wait a minute, let me break off, because before I did that, I was in the U.S. Army. I served in the 304th Signal Battalion in Seoul, Korea. I was a radio teletype operator. You can find a lot about me. And then when I got out the Army, I married a Filipino woman, got my bachelor's degree, and then my master's from Biola University, Talbot Theological Seminary, wrote my master's essay paper on something or other. I forget what it was. It wasn't that hot of a paper in the first place. But you can go on the internet and find out everything about me. I just told you my life. You know what Pritchett is saying? He says, after months of exposure, I know nothing about you. Now, here's the question. What do you know about President Obama? Where did he live? Where did he go to school? Where was he born? What hospital? What doctor performed the birth? Nobody knows.
All still pending.
It's all pending.
So paperwork has all been shut down.
Pritchett is right. Pritchett is right. Then he says, you scare me because I do not know how you paid for your expensive Ivy League education and your upscale lifestyle and housing with no visible signs of support. In other words, he said, where did you work, man? Now, this is very important. And don't come to, well, he was a Chicago organizer. Where did he work? Who paid for his education? His daddy was a foreigner, and his mama was a poor Anglo woman. And I'm black, so I'm not a bigot. So Pritchett wanted to know. And Pritchett worked at Procter & Gamble for all them years because traditional American people work. They work hard.
A track record has been built.
That's right. That's right. Then he says, you scare me because you did not spend the formative years of youth growing up in America, and culturally, you are not an American. Pritchett is right again. He didn't spend the greater part of his youth growing up in this country, experiencing what America is all about. Let me continue to read. He said, "You scare me, Mr. Obama, because you have never run a company or met a payroll." Now, what Pritchett means by that is that that is the kind of stuff that built America. People worked. The American ingenuity, you had your own company, you had to meet the payroll. Let me explain to some of you youngsters, since you don't know what that is. Let's say that you opened up a hat factory and you had four employees working for you. How are you going to meet payroll if you're not selling the hats? And remember now, Obama's giving all this stuff away, and he doesn't have a track record of ever doing anything.
Payroll doesn't just mean the employees get paid. Payroll means keeping the lights on, insurance for the cars and trucks, insurance for the employees, the building, all that stuff. That's making payroll.
And when you a government person, when you're a socialist, you don't have to worry about doing that, because all you're going to do is you're going to get the government to do that for you. All right, he says, "You scare me because you have never had military experience, thus don't understand it at its core." And he's right. Since I was in the Army, I understand the military. I understand when a soldier is going to fight. Wait a minute, there's another article that came out that I've got to share with you. You won't believe this. This just came over the internet. I couldn't believe it. Listen to this article. I'm reading it from my email. Listen, I want to thank Brenda again for sending me this update clip. She entitled it "Disturbing News." I wanted to give y'all some disturbing information on our wonderful president. I work with the Catch a Dream Foundation. And then the person gives the website, catchadream.org, which provides hunting and fishing trips to children with life-threatening illnesses. It is a great program, needless to say. This past weekend, we had our annual banquet fundraiser event at Starkville. I don't know where Starkville is, but I'm just reading the email. And it says, as a part of the program, we had scheduled Sergeant First Class Greg Staube, a highly decorated U.S. Army Green Beret, an inspirational speaker who was severely injured while deployed overseas and didn't have much of a chance for survival. Greg is stationed at Fort Bragg and received permission from his commanding officer to come and to speak at our function. Now, thus far, that's a great thing, because that's what America's all about. All right. Everything was on go until Obama made a policy that no U.S. servicemen can speak at any faith-based public events anymore. Needless to say, Greg had to cancel his speaking event with us. Didn't know if anyone else was aware of this new policy. I wonder what kind of news we will receive next. And then the person's name here is, well, I won't give it Charlie. I won't give his last name. And he lives in Aberdeen, Mississippi. Now, I want to share something with you people. I'm going to share. This is serious. Of a president goes to the Cairo University, speaks to his, and I ain't got nothing against Muslims. I love them like I do Hindus and everybody else. This man is stopping a military soldier from speaking encouragement to a bunch of children that needs to be encouraged because he's in the Army. That's what Mr. Lou Pritchett was saying about how can he understand the military when at its core he's never been in it. Obama is a worse kind of feminized male. And you know what? You weak, feminized, not non-thinking imbeciles in this country that in office, you didn't even care whether he had credentials or anything. No, you can't get rid of him now. It would destroy the country to get rid of him. And I'm old folk like Pritchett. So I think like that. You ever see that movie Soylent Green? I know y'all want to get rid of us. Man, we got to get rid of these old clowns so we can do it our way. That's all right. When your butt get old, they're going to have you in there and you're going to be the cheese on the cracker too. That's all right. Let me keep going. Pritchett continues and says, "You scare me because you lack humility and class, always blaming others." Of course. I'm not responsible.
That was part of his speeches in Egypt. He blamed America for a bunch of things and went over there to apologize to them about all the evils of America.
Ain't that a mess? Ain't that a mess, fool, if he knew what America was?
After all the things in history America has done to save countries and to keep people from being taken over,
and you know
he apologizes the whole time he's over
there. Figure out what to say.
He needs to sit down and watch a couple hours of the History Channel because they show all that stuff all the time.
I'd like to sit down and watch Saving Private Ryan, the first 5 minutes of the movie, and look at President Obama's face.
He might start crying.
When people was blowing up, and I would say, "Now, Mr. Obama, that's what America did. Them boys left their home and came over here to get blown up. For you to come over and tell these Europeans what?" Let me continue to read the letter. Oh, and I love the president. I love him. Say, "You scare me because for over half of your life, you have aligned yourself with radical extremists who hate America, and you refuse to publicly denounce these radicals who wish to see America fail." Now, this is from an old white dude who worked his whole life. "Oh, well, Bush did." No. Companies were run in America. Well, I don't want to get on that. Let me leave that alone. "You scare me because you are the cheerleader for the blame America crowd and deliver this message abroad." Now, that's what's so offensive to me. He hasn't lied about that. I mean, you're going to blame America. This is supposedly the country that bred you and gave you this. A person that does things like that is a person, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen,
of a selfish nature, the way it is now.
Right.
About, you know, well,
You did this to me.
You disrespected me. That whole line of talk.
Right. All that kind of thing.
That you would hold everybody hostage when you're the one that had the smarts to teach the people.
Right.
Even though you did something wrong.
Right.
You got put away for it. But then when it came time to do something, they said, "We need you to do this." And you said, "Well, okay, I'll do it."
That's a person of integrity. That's what a person of integrity does. And I'm saying that the president is not that. The president is nothing but a mouthpiece. That's what Lou Pritchett knows. He also goes on and says, "You scare me because you want to change America to a European-style country where the government sector dominates instead of the private sector." Did you hear how Obama made the joke when he said, "I'm running an automobile company now"?
Right.
He said that with a smirk on his face. "I'm running this." Think about the people that, well, nothing. I just...
Something new coming down the line about the health plan.
Oh, yeah.
They wants to change that so that, you know, if the government offers it, then one of the things that possibly could happen, the business that you're working for could say, "You know what? I'm not going to have insurance anymore because they're going to tax me for it. So I'm going to drop my whole insurance plan and you just get it from the government." That could possibly happen if the whole thing comes around.
These are the people that Pritchett is talking about that's trying to destroy America. Now, Lou is an old guy and will be dead in a few years like I will. And I hope that you young people that's listening to this piece will be able to do some thinking on your own. He goes on and says, "You scare me because you want to replace our health care system with the government control one." Now, You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I'm 65 years old. Mark, I have no health care plan. I go to the VA since I'm a veteran. I go and get my pills for my heart.
Right.
I'm 65. They tell me that I can get Medicare, Medicaid, and all that. I have not gone down and signed up for that because some other people need it, and I'm not sick.